Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 WOSU. My first guest today, the mayor of Columbus. Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman has decided to run for a fourth term as mayor. He joins us today to talk about that, I hope, the campaign trail that lies ahead and the potential for more years that await him in office, including many challenges and unfinished business, perhaps. Welcome to the show, Mayor.
Well, good morning. How are you, Ann?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
This is the first day.
This is the very first day.
On the FM 89.7.
Yes. It's 89.7 NPR News. I got it right the second time. 89.7 NPR News.
I'm your first guest.
You're my very first guest.
All right. This is exciting.
It's so exciting. It really is. Hello to everybody out there. Hello to all of our new listeners and for the folks that are watching us on television, you can catch us on 89.7, the FM dial now.
FM voice now.
I'm always working on my voice. Trust me, I have plenty of people out there listening to remind
voice.
Me of that. Yes, I'm always working on my voice. Yeah. maybe not the voice of Ted Williams, YouTube
Columbus Sensation.
Phenom. Sensation was on the Today Show.
I tell you, that's an unbelievable story. I wish him the very best. He drew tears to my eyes this morning when I saw him and his level of excitement and his chance to get out of homelessness and the cycle that he's been in and is so such a big part of his life. And I just wish him the best. You know, if I would just love to talk to him right now and just tell him, you know, make this moment important. This is his big second chance, and when all the hoopla goes away a month from now, that he stays on the right path away from alcohol and drugs and continues to build his life. And, you know, a month from now, people will say, oh, yeah, that guy, I remember him. Well, you know, he has to be focused on his own life after all this goes away because it'll be fleeting. 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, that awesome fame.
Sounds
like he's got a job.
I'm proud of him. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very proud of him. And I want him to represent Columbus in a very positive way, too, as he achieves this national focus.
You know, fame and fortune and, you know, high public office have a lot of downsides to them. You just mentioned some of them. And yet you want to seek a fourth term as mayor of Columbus, an unprecedented fourth term, not just for you, but for anybody. Why is that? Why not move on to something or give it a rest?
Well, you know, Ann, I love the city of Columbus, and I think we've made a lot of progress over the past 11, 12 years, and we've worked real hard through very difficult periods in our city's history. We worked hard through and successfully through two major recessions, giant recessions, one right after 9/11 and the most recent one we're working out of right now. And all at the same time, we've progressed as a city in many ways. And but there's still so much more yet to do in this community. And from continuing to work on vacant and abandoned housing, continuing to make our neighborhood strong, to dealing with the issues of safety and crime in our communities, continue to try to create jobs in our community, which is a very important part of what we all have to do in the private sector and public sector. But Columbus is positioned for greatness. And even though I'm proud of what we've done, we still have a lot more to do, and I want to be part of that. I love this city, and I love everything about it. When we have a hiccup in our community, I feel it. When we have strength and progress, I feel it. I just feel there's more to do. And I want to be part of this great community, and I love it so much.
I just thought it was because you wanted to be in charge of everything when they celebrate the bicentennial next year.
You know, we do have a bicentennial. It will be a great thing. But the bicentennial is 2 years from now. This is a four-year commitment. Or 1 year from now.
What exactly? I know. Weird, huh?
It's coming up.
I know. What have you not gotten done? What would be the one thing, ostensibly you have another year no matter what, but what would be the thing that you think is going to take more time than you have in the current term?
I mentioned one, vacant and abandoned housing. You know, that's something we started on actually before it was recognized around the country that this vacant abandoned housing problem. It was a national crisis. I noticed it just before then, and we set up a program called Home Again. It was $24, $25 million effort. And then last year and the year before, we were recipient of, somewhere around $40, $45 million in what's called NSP dollars for the same purpose, from the federal government to deal with vacant and abandoned housing. And it has spread, like in other cities, throughout all kinds of communities. When you have vacant and abandoned housing, what happens is that there is more incidence of crime, drug use. It is impacts a neighborhood significantly. And I want to eliminate it. I want to wipe it off the face of our community. But it takes a tremendous amount of time and resources to make that happen. So that's one thing that is something we still have to focus on. Another thing we still have to focus on is continuing to make our neighborhoods safe. We are the safest big city in the state of Ohio. Now, having said that, we've had a spike in homicides this summer, and we responded in a very aggressive manner as a result. We're going to have cameras in neighborhoods that will go up this year. We're going to continue with our strike force this year. We're going to engage in more community grassroots efforts as it relates to neighborhoods being intimately involved in engaging in safety in their own communities through the Columbus Coalition of Nonviolent Columbus Committee and Council. That's going to be announced very shortly. We're going to go after guns, illegal guns. You know, I'm not against guns. What I'm against is the use of guns in the commission of crimes and illegal guns. We have a serious problem in our state. When you have a legislature that wants to promote concealed weapons in bars, when you have laws that encourage guns in our community, takes away the ability of municipalities to monitor our own use of guns, when 70-75% of the homicides are as a result of illegal guns in the city of Columbus and other cities as well. Those are just some of the things I think we need to focus on. And jobs. You know, I sense we're coming out of this recession, but we have to be that much more aggressive in going after jobs and expanding the business base and the job base in our state and in the city of Columbus.
Speaking of crime, mm-hmm. your proposed 2011 spending plan for the city, roughly a $693 million budget proposal, you decided not to restore much of the funding for the Community Crime Patrol. Folks were at hearings and were concerned about that. If you're going down to that grassroots level, why isn't the Community Crime Patrol part of that?
Well, we funded at the same level of the past years.
Well, it was all the way up to, I think, $533,000 in 2008 and then was cut.
Right, and we funded at the same level of last year, mm-hmm. which is the same level. Now, having said that, they're likely to get more funding when it goes before council. Now, what I have done is I've increased the number of police officers that will be available for our community. And I had to make a choice. Do I want more police officers when we're going to have a mass retirements this year, or do I want to fund the Community Crime Patrol, which are not police officers? I made a decision that it is better to have more police officers and firefighters patrolling our community. And I said, I'll take that choice. And if there's more resources at the end of the year, then City Council can always supplement that and provide Community Crime Patrol some resources. So I had to make a choice. Do I want police officers or Community Crime Patrol? I wanted police officers. And in addition, do I want to have more community engagement, personal engagement of neighborhoods? And so we're setting up this Coalition Against Nonviolent Columbus. And that coalition will be asked to do the following: provide mini grants to grassroots organizations so that they can work on keeping their own neighborhoods safer, number one. Number two, help with the gun buyback program, along with developing additional programs that result in safer neighborhoods at the grassroots level. So I think we're doing a lot here. And while we funded Community Crime Patrol at the same level of last year, the budget process isn't over.
You're listening to Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment for the mayor, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to move on to the economy after we come back from our first break. If you have any questions on that, probably won't get to you until then. Got a new governor, Republican, John Kasich. You know, apparently getting sworn in at 12:01 Monday a.m. With media representatives on hand, I hear. What do you anticipate your relationship with Governor-elect Kasich will be?
I anticipate that it's going to be a good relationship. You know, I watched the national debate of the Congress versus President Obama, and I recall Senator, was it Mitch McConnell, who stood up and said, my number one goal is to make sure that this president is unsuccessful. Didn't talk about policy, didn't talk about issues, but his focus was and is to make this president unsuccessful. I think that's the wrong way to go. I think the right way to go is to work with the governor and to work with them in a way that is a productive working with that particular governor for the city of Columbus. And I want to see Columbus successful, and that may mean, and that does mean, working with the governor to explain our issues, to put forth our issues, to educate this governor on what the issues of Columbus are in urban areas, and as opposed to drawing the line and saying, I want you to be unsuccessful. That's not the way to go. I think that's the wrong way to go, and it's not productive. I want production.
Are you confident he feels the same way about you as arguably one of the most powerful Democrats in the state of Ohio now, possibly, even though you've said you don't want to run for governor in the future? Regardless, you're probably his greatest threat at this point. You feel comfortable that he feels the same way?
I don't know why he would consider me a threat. I just want to represent our citizens. I want our citizens to be successful. I want the city of Columbus to be the greatest city in the country. It seems to me you ought to have that same philosophy, that Ohio is going to be the greatest state in the country, and the city of Columbus, along with other cities, would be great as well. And I want to work with him. And I think he wants to work with me. I did have a conversation with the governor-elect. And in that conversation, he said to me that, Mayor, I want to work with you. We're going to work to create jobs. And I said, Governor, I want to work with you. Governor-elect, I want to work with you, and we want to work to create jobs. So we already have a commitment from him and a commitment from me to work together to create jobs. And you know what? In my city, creating jobs is a very, very important thing.
We have to take a quick break. We are talking with Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
FM is your all-day NPR news station, and on 89.7 NPR News, you can hear your favorite shows.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air.
I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
I'm Neil Conan, and this is Talk of the Nation.
Listen to 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, or streaming at WOSU.org.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, 29 degrees in downtown Columbus. There is a chance of afternoon snow, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 33 today. A chance of some light snow tonight, a low of 17 degrees. There is a slight chance of morning snow showers on Friday, and then cloudy skies at a high of 24. Cloudy skies Friday night, and a low of 15 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also join us on Facebook, the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. A new economic snapshot by the Chamber of Commerce likens the region's 2011 jobs picture to a puzzle. And as WOSU's Tom Borgerding reports, Chamber of Commerce Chief Economist Bill Lafayette says Franklin County could see a loss of 1,000 jobs this year.
I don't think that we can count on state government education to save us as we go into 2011. I think that that's going to be much more of a problem than it has been.
Economist James Newton of Commerce National Bank predicts government job losses in central Ohio this year will be even worse, perhaps as high as 1,500. Newton says there's just no way around the projected $8 billion budget hole at the State House.
Unless you are going to tax people to the point where all they do is earn their money and hand it over to the government, $8 billion is a huge, huge hole to try and dig yourself out from under. It has to come largely from spending cuts.
So how do the cuts at the state level, the inevitable cuts at the state level, trickle down and impact the city where most of state is located?
Well, I think it will have an impact to the city of Columbus. It's a blessing and a curse for state government to be located in the city of Columbus. The blessing is that we're the power center of our state. We have a lot of jobs in state government. A lot of people are here, moved here because of state government, this being our capital, the capital city. The curse is that when there's going to be cuts, those cuts will impact jobs that are located in the city of Columbus that happen to be with the state. And so we will see an impact from those state cuts. And we just don't know to what extent. Now, having said that, I don't agree with the thought that our economy and number of jobs that were created in the total economy will be less than it has been in the prior years. I disagree with that. I think there'll be cuts in state government, I'm telling you, I believe that there'll be an increase in jobs in the private sector. We've already started seeing it. The best barometer of the economy is looking at the revenue levels of the city of Columbus. And we have seen an uptick in revenue in the city of Columbus in spite of our 0.5% increase in income tax. But if you take that away, there has been an uptick there. So, and we are seeing a positive net result of revenue to the city of Columbus. So, but I do agree halfway agree with the economists that we will see more state government jobs eliminated, but we also will see more private sector jobs increased in our region. And at the end of the year, I think we'll see a net positive, not a net negative, this year.
Any cuts in city government?
We have made cuts. We have done what the state government is trying to do. We have been cutting for the past decade. Again, we've lived through two recessions, and we recently had a tax increase, but prior to then, I cut millions and millions and millions of dollars out of the city budget. I've laid off hundreds of employees. In fact, our non-uniform employee base is one-third less than what it was when I took office. We did things that we didn't want to do. frankly, like closed rec centers, cut the community crime patrol. We made massive cuts at the city level over a course of time, and we frankly became more efficient as a result. That's the silver lining of a bad economy, is that it forces you to be more efficient. And frankly, we are more efficient as a city. So we've made cuts along the way, and the state is not just now starting to look at this massive $8 billion plus or minus dollars in a deficit that's going to impact communities all over the state of Ohio, including the city of Columbus. And I have some concerns where they're looking at.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, where can Columbus, you know, the cuts won't come at this point from things like Medicaid. They can't come at this point from things like the prisons, as long as you have to incarcerate the people who have been adjudicated thus. Education looks like untouchable at this point politically, but there's no guarantees. In fact, it's likely there'll be cuts. But beyond that, where can Columbus take hits, and where can it not take hits in terms of state government funding? There's a local government fund. Can you afford
to... Well, frankly, we shouldn't be taking any hits from state government. And we'll make our best case to the powers that be in state government, because about 70% of the state monies that come through the local government fund is used for police and fire. I've hired 300 police and firefighters over the course of this year. We're going to do that this year. And we have to maintain safety in our neighborhoods. If we have to make those kind of cuts in police and fire, it's going to truly impact the quality of life of our citizens. And I think we have to tell the state folks, look, this is what happens when you make these kind of cuts to city government. It is the second highest source of revenue that the city receives, and it'll receive $41 million. From state government in just that one source. And so we'll make our best pitch and our best case, and my hope is that those in the state government will say, well, you know what, we don't want to put neighborhoods in jeopardy. You know what, we don't want to see the crime rate rise. You know what, we want to maintain safety in our communities. So maybe we need to not cut as much, or let's look elsewhere.
These are concerns that you share with other big city mayors in Ohio. Are you coalescing at all? Are you coming together to maybe lobby the legislature as they deal and grapple with whatever Governor Kasich comes up with by March? I think it's March 15th.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're beginning our discussions now. We had conference calls being planned and developing information as why we shouldn't be cut at the levels that's being projected.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest, of course, is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. We love to take your call, 614-292-8513. And Frank, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and hello, Mayor.
Hi.
I was wondering if you had heard, like in the past, probably the late 70s or 80s, the urban homesteading home ownership program that they had back then?
A little bit.
Okay. What I was a recipient of that, I think it was in 1982, and I basically entered this program that the city of Columbus facilitated. I think it was through the federal government a little bit, but they basically drew my name, and I paid a dollar for a house, a double.
Yeah.
And then the city provided me an employee that, you know, I had to put like $10,000 in like a dual checking account escrow thing to, you know, to fix it up. And I had to have I had to live there a minimum of 5 years. And these were homes that somehow the city acquired. And then since then, of course, I've gotten married, and I've purchased five other doubles in the same neighborhood. This is south of Hudson Street, 2-4 families and a commercial building. And so now I'm providing rentals for lower income people. And I was thinking it'd be good if the city could, you know, through city council, could somehow, you know, get this program back. I don't know how many houses the city did back then. I think on my day, there was like 9 houses that were available.
Mayor, what do you think?
Yeah, I seem to remember that program. I think it was 9 or 10 houses a year. And that's a good thing to get off the vacant and abandoned roll list. you know, we're doing a couple hundred houses a year now.
As far as demolition?
Or? No, okay. as far as renovating.
Right.
In that range. Mm-hmm. Demolition, I don't remember the number offhand, but, you know, those are, frankly, a last resort.
Okay.
I don't like to demolish homes unless you have to. I'd like to renovate them, put families in them as best we can. But that's something we could take a look at again, frankly. I remember looking at that in the early years of my term, and there was some impractical reason why we could not pursue it, and it wasn't the city. I think it was the federal government at the time. These were HUD homes. And there was some federal complications and guidelines that were not amenable to the idea of doing that program, because I do remember that program, and it had a lot of sensation and sizzle to it, and it did have 10 homes, 9 or 10 homes a year that were addressed. And it's something we should take a look at again. So if we can get up to 210 homes, that'd be good.
Thank you, Frank, for your call. We appreciate it. We have an email from Debbie. She says, it is so sad to see Westland Mall abandoned. Couldn't it be turned into a center that celebrates the multicultural aspects of Columbus? We have a diverse culture. Westland could showcase the different foods, crafts, literature, etc. of all our citizens. When the casino opens, I think Westland would be positioned perfectly to illustrate the best resource of Columbus, our people. Speaking of casino, Mayor, how's it going over there?
I don't know. Maybe you ought to ask them.
So you're not talking, I take it.
Well, my door is always open to the casino folks. They moved out to the west side,
right.
and I think it was a good business deal for them to do so, because when they moved to the west side, they had the opportunity to make more money and save more money. So make more money and have less cost, and being on the west side, an opportunity to help rejuvenate the entire area. So it was a good business decision on their part to move to the west side. And they'll be rolling in the dough when they open. The fact is that they made a commitment to me and to the citizens of our city to annex to the city of Columbus unconditionally. Now, all of a sudden, there's a price tag to it. And I'd like for them to fulfill their commitment to our community and come into the city. And, you know, they came into when they had the original
site downtown?
The original site was passed, was it 2000?
It would have been 2009.
2009, November 2009. They came into the city and they said, look, we want to be good civic partners. I remember that press conference. We want to embrace this community. Well, I'd like for them to fulfill that promise as well, even if they have to be nudged into it.
The issue, by the way, for listeners, groundbreaking on that, Hollywood Casino Columbus is scheduled for early this year, with an opening sometime late next year. But the issue, of course, of water and sewer service has not been resolved because of the annexation issue. The city
it's real easy.
Right.
I don't know how much it costs to annex a couple $100 permit fee or something. Yeah, I'll overwrite the check. Go ahead and come into the city of Columbus. We welcome them into the city of Columbus. Fulfill your commitment to the city and to the citizens, and we welcome you.
What if they've already broken ground in Toledo? What if the casino doesn't go forward here? There's nothing to say. Nothing. One thing in the legislation or the amendment that was passed that the voters approved says anything about you must. It just says you may
build a casino. It says you can only build a casino at this site.
Right.
And if they choose not to build a casino because they don't want to be in the city of Columbus, shame on them.
Why shouldn't the casino be treated like so many other economic developments projects in Columbus, with financial incentives to sweeten the pot, to bring it they'll bring in thousands of jobs and more development? It's one of those kind of things.
Well, here's how those other deals work, because we're often faced with a scenario where we're actually competing with jurisdictions. We don't just give incentives because we like people. We give incentives because there is competition in the marketplace. And if they don't move here, they can move over there, right across some other area. And they can move to Toledo or Detroit or.
But in this case,
In this case, they have one place they can be, and that's that location. And frankly, we have been helpful to them, and I'll continue to be helpful to them. We have helped them with respect to throwing our support behind cleaning up the environmentally blighted site. I made that commitment publicly and privately, and we have supported that. We've made some commitments on throwing our support behind roadway construction. Well, you know, we made that public commitment and private commitment. We're fulfilling it. And now, frankly, I just need them to make true their promise to the city and to the citizens. And this is real simple for me. And what I've learned is their culture, the business culture, is I would hope that they would have been a win-win kind of business. In Columbus, we like to work on win-win efforts. I think their entire business culture has been based on win-lose. And in this case, there's a winner and a loser. And they put us in that scenario, and that's where we are.
Bob, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Good morning, Mayor.
Morning.
I'd like to ask you about the tagging situation. Police...
this is the graffiti, right?
Right.
Yes, the graffiti. And I was wondering if what your philosophy is on that, and why don't we put cameras on top of some of these light bulbs where these taggers work, like along 670?
Well, we do. First of all, I hope that... the judge throws the book at this tagger. He needs to be made an example of.
Amen.
And I'm all in favor of...
He's one of the most prolific.
A maximum penalty is what I hope that the judge comes up with for this young man and set him as an example. But there are some cameras located in some of the areas where there have been tagging. We've been moving those cameras from time to time. They've been successful. So it's kind of hard to chase around taggers because you don't know where they're going to go. But we have successfully done that program, and we'll continue to do it.
Thanks to Bob from Gahanna for that call. We have to take another break. Welcome all the other calls, 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we have some Facebook messages to read when we return, so you can always get a hold of us on Facebook as well. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Spend some time getting caught up with what's happening in your world every Friday night on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed at 8:30 by Columbus on the Record, hosted by WOSU's Mike Thompson. Continuing at 9 with the McLaughlin Group, and then at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program that features an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Spend your Friday night with WOSU-TV beginning at 8.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of the program begins as Ohio faces an estimated $8 billion budget shortfall. We'll hear about a new report recommending sweeping changes to the state's budgeting system. Join us for hour two of All Sides beginning at 11. And remember, you can hear All Sides, Fresh Air, On Point, and Talk of the Nation on the new 89.7 FM. 89.7 is now your all-day NPR news station. Listen to local and national news all day, every day. And you can listen to classical music 24 hours a day and 7 days a week on the new Classical 101. For more information, visit WOSU.org.
Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts. The 2011 lecture series kicks off with Ed Chappell of the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation, documenting the evolution of planned communities, Tuesday the 11th at 7 p.m. Details at mccoycenter.org.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have...
Can I say this?
Sure.
Welcome to 89.7 NPR News.
89.7, no point.
89.7 NPR News.
Yeah, 89.7 NPR
All right.
News.
All right.
Let's just say it one more time. 89.7 NPR News.
89.7 NPR News.
Welcome all of our new listeners to that.
All right.
From Susan on Facebook. When will the Scioto Mile be done in time for this year's Arts Festival?
The Scioto Mile will be done in July of this year. And it'll be a great achievement. It is a partnership between the city and the private sector. And the private sector put in about $20 million into this effort. I believe the Scioto Mile will be one of the great tourist attractions and community places in our state. If you know the Millennium Park in Chicago, it's the number one tourist attraction in Chicago. Scioto Mile will be that in the city of Columbus. And I'm very much looking forward to its opening. It'll be exciting, a place to be. It'll be fun. It'll be a place where families can be at 24-7. And I'm really looking forward to it. It'll change the city for generations.
An email from Christina brings up another new development. I was hoping that the mayor would talk about Columbus Commons. I was very excited about it when it was first announced, but in my opinion, the design is terrible.
Okay.
You could have seen his face just at all. It's aggressively linear and is the most unpark-like park I've ever seen. It has all the charm and whimsy of an airport runway. I suppose the additions of the carousel and the band shell in the spring will help. It's an important place in Ohio's capital city, and that demands something special. Now, I know that the observatory mayor, I mean the conservatory, is coming in to do plantings this spring.
I think you got to give it a chance because it's not done. What you see are just the frameworks, the framework of Columbus Commons. I think it will be exciting. I think it'll be a place where people will want to be. I think it'll be a place where we'll see nightly and weekend concerts. It'll be an exciting place. But you got to give it a chance. You got to wait till the plannings are put in. Now, one thing you have to remember is it's not all park. The area circumference of it along High Street and Rich Street will be commercialized at some point. And we're looking at potential office, commercial, or residential around the circumference of that site. The interior will remain a permanent park. So it's a 9-acre site. And I think you've got to give it a chance.
So you will be developing heavily around the edge.
Heavily around the circumference of it.
Okay.
So what you're seeing is a partially completed effort. So I think you got to give it a chance. And I think once it's all done, you'll love it. I'm sure of it.
I know that there's a big announcement planned today regarding Consider Biking's 2x 2012 initiative.
Yes.
The goal of which is for every Central Ohio resident to use a bicycle instead of a car to get to work or school or errands twice a month by the bicentennial in 2012. But I don't know how much you're going to tell me. Oh, I was just going to take a call from somebody about bicycling. Maybe that's what they were calling about, and that's why they hung up. But anyways, you're going to tell us what that announcement is now?
Well, it's going to be about that, exactly. Ride your bike a couple of times a month, and we're transforming into a bike city. I think it's important. We're building miles and miles of bike paths. We're transforming our public right-of-way and streets into places where both bikes and cars and pedestrians can be a part of. This is a transformation of the city, and 2012 is our bicentennial. And we want people in our community to move more towards being a bicycle city. I want us to be the number one bike city in the country. And I personally have engaged in biking myself. And I got to walk the walk, walk the talk as well.
Or bike, pedal bike, the pandering.
Yeah, there you go. It's ongoing focus of transformation of the city into a bike city, and that means doing things differently as individuals and as families. That is making a commitment to biking. That is making a commitment to get out of our cars, and ride your bike to work or during the day or the weekend.
Moving on to another recreational activity that's become pretty popular in Columbus but is suffering a little bit, the Blue Jackets. They're important to Columbus. There's a lot of talk that they could leave or that they're on the block perhaps for sale. Are you worried about that? And can we save the Blue Jackets without public intervention?
Well, I don't know much about hockey, but I know a lot about economic development. And I believe that if the Blue Jackets leave, which I think is an imminent threat and a possibility, that will have a significant impact to the economic vibrancy of our community, in our downtown area in particular. And we have invested great resources into the Arena District. I think the Nationwide Arena, the best arena in the country, will not be able to sustain itself and will be the beginning of a collapse that we have to get in front of. Now, what is the answer? I do not know yet. And I'll be glad to come back on air whenever that solution is developed. We don't have the answer yet.
Do you have a sense about the timeline on all of this and what sort of pressure is coming to bear at this point on them?
Well, I know it's not time now. I don't know when time is, when time runs out. But there is a time frame at some point where if the potential exists, just the potential at this point. And I don't think it's a reality, but I think the potential exists that we could lose the Blue Jackets.
Speaking of the Arena District, which has flourished, you know, even despite the strike a few years back, the the NHL strike, and we were talking earlier about the casino, and of course they were originally going to locate in that area. They have some property there now, and it's not a good time to be trying to sell property there, I would imagine. You said that they want the city to purchase it.
Well, I think what the casino people want us to ensure is that they are somehow compensated. They've used the term in the past, made whole. I think they've come off that term, made whole, a little bit for their investment in that site in the Arena District. And they overpaid for that site at the outset. I don't know, it was $37 million. It's valued at $11 million. And they want the city of Columbus somehow to help them make up the difference. And I'm not going to do that. That is not what government does. And we're not going to do it. They moved out to the west side. It was a good business decision to move out to the west side. They'll make more money and save more. The Arena District would have cost millions more dollars just for mere access to the site at the Arena District. They would not have had any help from the city. Or anyone else, I don't think. They could have built it at the arena site. They know that. I know that. We could not have prevented them from building the casino at that site. So they moved out to the west side because it was a better deal for them. It's smart, good business. But I can't compensate them for the arena site that they overpaid for in the first place. Can't do it.
We have an email from Robin. Can you talk about recycling in Columbus? I remember hearing about a new biweekly city service starting, but I haven't seen much about it recently.
2012, the city's bicentennial.
The magic year.
We will have comprehensive recycling in the city of Columbus. It'll be phased in over neighborhoods. And the idea will be doing this without subscription service. It will be provided to every single-family resident in the city of Columbus. And I'm very excited about it. This year what we'll do is we're going to begin an education process later on this year in preparation for a comprehensive recycling program in the year 2012. And I think recycling is something we should have done a long time ago, but we're going to get it done in 2012. That's the year we'll be able to afford it. There is a cost. The city is going to absorb that cost some way, and we're planning for it.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. There's still a few minutes to give him a call and talk to him. Joe, you're on the air from Columbus. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Mayor, what do you think about electric transportation, whether bus or rail, backed up by nuclear power, lots of jobs, events for the future?
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Electric transportation. Well, by bus, rail, or automobile. Let me start out with automobile. We have a chance in the city of Columbus to begin really something that can help transform the economic base of our city. There's an organization called CODA, C-O-D-A, not T-A, that is we have supported, and we're providing city incentives and to create a manufacturing operation that will develop automobiles on batteries. And those batteries will recharge by electric. And it'll create 1,000-plus jobs, 1,000 to 1,500 jobs almost immediately. And there'll be an entire ancillary support system that will create additional jobs beyond that. And if this happens, and I say if this happens, it'll be because of our city, our state joining in a partnership, and the federal government providing a $500 million loan to CODA. Today's newspaper reflected that CODA raised another $76 million from private investors. All a very good sign that CODA will be opening up a battery manufacturing plant in the city of Columbus. Now, it's not soup yet. My hope is that by February we'll know whether or not the federal government will provide a $500 million loan to CODA. If they do, Columbus will be the, and I'm telling you now, it's something I could probably talk about depending upon whether we get this loan. We could be the center of developing an electrification ecosystem in the city of Columbus. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know how Marysville or the Central Ohio changed as a result of Honda being located there? You know, all the jobs and all the suppliers and other businesses that came in. Well, Columbus has a chance with CODA to be just like that with electric automobiles and battery-powered automobiles. And so we'll have to build an infrastructure that can support this new line of business unlike any other city in the country. And so we're looking into that. I do think that, I don't know much about nuclear power, but it's better than some sources of energy generation. So I think in our city that we have a potential developing an ecosystem that is electric-based.
Thank you very much, Joe, for your call. Let's talk about something. No doubt, if something like CODA occurs, it won't be just all about Columbus. It'll be about more about the region of Central Ohio. You'd probably be working with some suburbs and things like that. This is being talked about more and more often, the regionalism idea, the sometimes merging to get economies of scale, that kind of thing for uncertain projects. Tell me what your thoughts are about that and maybe what you're doing in that direction.
Well, I think it's the time has come where the city of Columbus and other jurisdictions around the city need to have some very serious conversations about sharing costs. And what does that mean? And so this year I'm going to be spending a lot more time and effort understanding that issue. What kinds of costs, what kinds of expenses can we share to reduce the tax burden among all people in our region, including those in the city of Columbus. Now, in doing so, we have to bring in partners. We have to talk about this in a very open and enlightened way. It may mean combining some services. It may mean looking at some of the things that we're accustomed seeing in their own little niche, in their own little jurisdiction, and there's multiple similar things all over other jurisdictions. How do we combine those together? Let me give you an example.
Thank you.
Okay. Recycling. Trash collection. You know, is that something that we could share among multiple jurisdictions? I don't know the answer to it, but I do know we need to look at it.
Can you give me another example?
Not now.
Okay. Well, that just puts us just about at the end of our show.
Okay.
Almost perfect timing. One more example would have gotten us about another minute out of it, but that's okay.
Yeah, another example probably would, well, anyway.
Okay.
We'll end it there.
I wait with bated breath. I want to thank Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman for joining us today on the show for our first show on 89.7 NPR News.
And it's great to be here, Ann Fisher, at 89.7 NPR News.
We have signs all over the studio, so I won't forget. 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thank you, Mayor, for being here.